Good morning, welcome. A very warm welcome, even though it's winter today, officially starts, according to some people. And if you're not watching this live, if you're watching it on YouTube later or whatever, then good morning, afternoon or evening, whichever it is for you. Let's begin with prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, we give thanks for the many blessings we have from you, and especially for the freedom we have as the people of God to gather and worship together like this. We pray that you will take from us anything that would stop us from focusing on you today. Open our ears and our eyes to hear your word for us. Open our spirits that we may be renewed in our faith by your Spirit. And open our hearts that we may respond to your guidance and be agents of change that continue to work in the communities to which we belong, bringing hope, peace and the love of Jesus to all we meet. In his name we pray. Amen. I invite you now, or in a minute or two, to stand as you're able, and as we sing our first song, or two, couple. And if you've ever wondered why we stand,
why do we
sing,
stand, Ian?
As we worship together as God's people, Rob, I reckon there are two or three reasons why. The first is because that's our tradition. Yes. That's the way we've always done it. Or at least it's the tradition for many people who are here today. Secondly, we stand to sing as a way of honouring God, like the way that is good etiquette to stand when we're in the presence of someone important, such as our God. And thirdly, because if you're standing up, that can help to open up our chest, let our lungs get the air in and out, so we can sing with passion and energy and enthusiasm and joy as we celebrate together today. So let's sing these first couple of songs.
Thank you.
my comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord all the earth and I say, power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord on the earth let us sing, power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy.
Don't sit down. We're going to sing another song. A song of praise. You've got to stand up when you're going to sing this song.
Another one. Yeah, right.
I do like your smiles. But you don't have to, if you need to sit, that's fine too. Let's sing to the God of salvation.
Then let's sing to the God of salvation. Let us sing to the Lord our God. Let us come to his house with thanksgiving. Let us come before the Lord and sing. Praise our Maker, praise our Savior, praise the Lord our everlasting King. Every throne must bow before him. God is Lord of everything. Let us worship the Lord our Maker. Let us kneel to the Lord our God. For we all are the sheep of his pasture. He will guide us by his powerful hand. Praise, praise, praise the Lord our everlasting King. Every throne must bow before him. God is Lord of everything. We stray from the Lord in rebellion, as the people did in time of old.
Here we go, let's go, come on.
Praise, praise, praise the Lord our everlasting King. Every throne must bow before him. God is Lord of everything.
Well done. You can take a seat, have a rest now. I want to remind you of a couple of notices, and there are things like this. As you can see on the front of the news shed, If you've looked at it, their guest speaker today is Kelly Beams, who works for Schools Ministry Group. So we welcome you today. And others who are here, maybe for the first time or for a while. So that's good. And secondly, the Home Aloners blokes are meeting for lunch on Tuesday at the Wollunga Hotel. And could you let one of the Bobs know today if you're going so they can book enough seats? That'd be good. And there are other things happening. And if you want to know what they are, look in the news sheet and you'll find the details. I hope that's all. And now we're going to have the Bible reading.
The first reading for this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The second reading is from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, the new life in Christ. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Before Kelly speaks to us, we're going to stay seated while we sing another short song. There are three parts to it. It's very simple. But as God's people, let's sing this song of adoration and commitment to our God.
Spitting because all of these front seats are free. So I apologise if that was the whisper that went around. But that's okay. That's okay. Are you well? Isn't it beautiful to be here today? Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful to have the privilege of coming together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to have the freedom to worship together? It's incredible. I brought this up. Oh, there's the clock. That's good. I don't like the sound of my own voice, but I do love this. So I'm just going to keep an eye on the time because I do truly love this. I love the Word of God. I love that this is the anchor for our lives. I love the inner world that is skeptical that there is truth. I love that this is truth. I love that we can rely on God's word and we can be led and guided. I love that it's a roadmap for life and it's also a love letter to our souls. I love the word of God. And it's just such a privilege to be able to share a little bit from my heart, from the word this morning, some of my, I guess, revelations about what God's been talking to me about. But it's an honour to be connected to this house, to this church in a few different ways. As a part of my role with Schools Ministry Group, I get to take care of the schools around this area in appointing and looking after our chaplains, pastoral care workers in the surrounding schools. And I just want to thank this church so much for your dedication and your love for the chaplains in this area, for your dedication in prayer, for your financial giving. It truly has been an extraordinary legacy that this church has had. This church has really been such a strong stake in the ground when it has come to the support and the love and the provision for our pastoral care workers. So can I just say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for the legacy that that has been and that continues to be in loving the schools in this area. I'll just give you a quick update in a second on what's going on in the local schools, just as a point of please pray for these things. But yeah, it's just wonderful to be able to see that God really truly is at work in our schools. You know, there's a narrative out there in the world that can be very gloomy. There's a narrative in the world that can be very discouraging. But let me tell you, I stepped into this role with Schools Ministry Group just 4 years ago now. Previous to my role with Schools Ministry Group as a regional manager many years ago, before children. By the way, my family says hello. Ryan and the three kids, we were wrestling with whether or not they will come today. If you don't know, my main claim to fame is that I'm Angela and Digby's daughter-in-law. That's my main strength. And I did hit the jackpot with incredible in-laws. I really, really did. Their son's pretty great as well. I kind of like him. Yeah, he's a good man, Ryan. So greetings. Greetings from Ryan and the kids. Yeah, we haven't actually been in our own church for a little while because we've been away, and I don't know if you know, but if we're away too much, the pastoral care team starts to call us and making sure that we haven't strayed away. So we thought, oh, you better show up at church today. So we're still loving God, we're still coming to church, it's all good. So yeah, greetings from them this morning. But yeah, there is a narrative out there that that can be very doom and gloom. Prior to my position as regional manager, I was a pastoral care worker in the detention centres. So that was my first introduction to Schools Ministry Group and chaplain, which was just an absolute privilege and honour to be with those kids. If you remember, we used to have a McGill Detention Centre, and I would work with kids as young as 11 years old that had been incarcerated, that had hit rock bottom in their life, I guess, at 11 years old. And that was very eye-opening for me. I was able just to go in and just love on them and hear their stories and get an insight into their world. When I stepped back into the role in Schools Ministry Group, because of the rhetoric that was in the media, I expected that it would have shrunk. But it was actually the opposite. And it was so encouraging for me to come back and see that now more than ever, schools are saying, yes, please. Yes, please, will you come and help us? Yes, please. If you have got something to offer our young people, we would love you to come and support and help us. And it's really quite wonderful. So I get the privilege of meeting with principals in this area. And that's what I hear. I hear, yes, please. If there are people who maybe not always specifically who want to pray, but that's certainly what I call us to do. But if there are people who have something to give, who have a way to love our schools, then they are open for it. They are open to it, which is really, really, really wonderful. And so the schools in this area, we have Ranella Primary still with us at Schools Ministry Group. So we have an appointed chaplain in at Ranella Primary, at Pimpala Primary, at Ranella South Primary. We have a pastoral care worker in at Seaford High, a gorgeous little school down the road of Carrara. Until I was in this role, I didn't know Carrara existed. It's a beautiful little school in the back streets in there. We have a pastoral care worker in Hackham, in O'Sullivan's Beach, a newly appointed pastoral care worker at Morfett Vale Primary School, doing really well in her first few weeks. We have a pastoral care worker at Southport as well. So there's a few schools that we don't have a specific chaplain in at the moment, but they're still schools that I get the privilege of just going and chatting to and talking to and saying, we're here. I'm just a representation of the local churches, where I can just say, we're here for you. As Schools Ministry Group, we just want to say that we love you, and is there anything that you need? Is there anything we can do? So we listen and we learn and we pray, and then we fill in that space of just loving our young people and loving our teachers as well as we're led and prompted to. It's exciting. It's exciting. So I guess in all of that, I just want to encourage you that sometimes it might seem that the doors are closing when it comes to the people of faith having an influence. But my experience in conversation is the opposite, that in most places and spaces, there's an openness. There's a recognition that actually the church, the people of God, really do have a lot of love to give. And there's an open door and a willingness for us to come and impact our community in that way. Isn't that great? There's favour. There's more favour than what we realise. There's more favour for the people of God than what we sometimes might hear or read in our papers and see on our screens. So keep on praying for that. If you can pray for Sarah, she's in two of our schools, for Jacinta, for Jeanette. These are our pastoral care workers. For Neva, for Kirsten, for Sophia, for Stephen, that'd be wonderful. And if you don't remember their names, just pray for them all. Say all of them, Lord. He knows. All of them. Just pray, because they come across some big stories. They journey with some big issues day to day. They're in the trenches, and they have such beautiful pastoral hearts. And we're just, praying for wisdom, praying that each day they step into their schools, that God would lead them and guide them just the right place at just the right time. I think that's one of the beautiful things about the pastoral care work position. There's that freedom to go in and say, hey, God, where do you need me today? As Christians, we have a bit of a superpower, don't we? We have like the voice of God Almighty speaking to us, which is beautiful. But that they would be able to walk in, and where do you need me today? Who is it that you would like me to bless today? Is it a teacher? Is it a young person? Is it a parent in the schoolyard? And we can just be love. And I think that's one of the things I still continue to love about Schools Ministry Group, is that we are truly about appointing pastoral care workers who are connected to the local church. That's what we're about. This whole ministry is really all about being a conduit to the local church, because I believe that the local church is Jesus' answer for this world, for our city, for our suburb. The local church is the answer. And so that's the role. It's the conduit role to connect with the local church. So thank you. I will let you know very specifically, there's lots of different ways that the finance has gone into beautiful areas. One of the big ways that we advocate when there's finance that come in from this church is running Easter and Christmas seminars, which are so wonderful and so great. So again, have to have permission from the schools. Another thing that we can pray for, that there's just that openness. And we have a wonderful team at SMG that just come in and share, what is this Easter thing about from a Christian point of view? What is this Christian Christmas idea? How are those things connected? Because most of these young people have never been to Sunday school. So we're bringing in just that gospel message, that basic gospel message, that will hopefully just inspire and light up, and at the very least educate. But we know that there's a Holy Spirit that takes that education to a heart level as well in those schools. So a lot of the time when there's finances coming in, and that's certainly something I'm advocating for this year, and there's been some beautiful financial donations specifically from this church. Hey school, will you allow us to come and just speak about the Christian message of Easter, the Christian message at Christmas time? So thank you for that. And that means the gospel message is going to hundreds of kids. It's really, really beautiful. So thank you for that kids ministry that you have. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful kids' ministry that's going on here in that way. It's phenomenal. The other major impact, there's many, but I'll just mention this one before I have a look at the scripture today. Last year the government changed the way the funding happened, and they said anyone who applied to have a pastoral care worker in their schools could have one, but the schools themselves had to find $4,000. Very quickly. This is in January when their budgets are complete, months and months before. And one school particular, down the road here, actually said, Kel, we actually just can't afford to put in the full amount. We could put in half, but at short notice. We can't. We love our pastoral care worker. She's doing an amazing job. She's so connected. But for this particular school, budgets were very, very, very tight. And because of the generosity of the donations, of being able to just bump up, they put in what they could afford, and we were able to find the difference, which meant that pastoral care worker has now been there for 2 years. So it's just incredible. We do our part, and she's very loved there. So thank you. Like, really, there's incredible impacts happening. The verse this morning is a bit of a favourite of mine, talking about being chosen. What a wonderful idea that is. What a wonderful life-changing thought that is. And I don't know about your idea or your experience of being chosen, because we don't always want to be chosen. I know when my phone rings and I don't know the number on my phone, I tend not to pick up anymore. On cue.
Well done.
So good. Thank you, Lord. I don't always want to pick up because sometimes the person who's calling me has chosen me and I don't want to be chosen for that particular call. I don't need a new electricity account. I don't need a new phone bill. I'm good with my health insurance. Just, it's okay. I don't need your wine club. I'm all good. I'm fine. Sometimes we're kind of a bit skeptical when it comes to your chosen, or that message that you get, you're chosen, you've won the jackpot. I'm like, yeah, no, no, thank you. So we don't always trust being chosen, do we? Or maybe some of you remember, like I still remember, I'm a little bit scarred, being in sport class and having to stand there while the two captains chose who was going to be in their team for sport that day. Can I tell you, I was usually, if not last, second to last. I was not the athletic one. Sometimes the thought of being chosen is not all that glamorous. But the thought of being chosen by God Almighty, wow. Wow. It's the who chooses us that really makes a difference, don't you think? The thought that God Almighty would choose us is extraordinary to me. Chosen by God, that's what this beautiful verse says, that you are chosen. And when I rest in that I am chosen, it really changes how I get up in the morning. That in my weakness, that in my imperfection, that in my doubt, that the Lord would still say, you are God's chosen treasure. Whoa. That's how we would speak about us. Chosen treasure. You know, it's a beautiful verse in John 15 where Jesus is saying, like, you didn't choose me, I actually chose you. Surprise! It's amazing that he would call us by name and bring us close as his people. As his people. And not only are we chosen, but we're also fully known by him. And again, that idea, I've been doing a little bit of deep diving into the omniscience of God, just the all-knowing God, the all-knowing creator. And it can be a scary thought, the all-knowing God, or it can be the most beautiful invitation to connect with him. Lord, you are all-knowing. That means that you know my past, you know my future, you know my now. It can be a little bit uncomfortable that the holy God knows my every thought, knows my every move, or it can be a beautiful invitation to say, trust me, journey with me, come close to me, let me walk with you. It says that we are chosen treasures, we are priests who are kings, a spiritual nation, that we are set apart for him. Wow. Just wow. Just wow. You know, one of my favourite verses is Psalm 139. And I just want to read a little bit to you in the Passion Translation. It says this. Oh, it's so good. It's just so, so good. It says, Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. And you understand my every thought before it enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me. You read my heart like an open book. And you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in your kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hands of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me doesn't make me run, but your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. And then it goes on to say, where can I go to hide from you? The answer is nowhere, because he's with us. Again, that brings such a strength to my heart. You know, I was actually just sitting at the beach the other day, had a little lunch break. My region goes down to the Fleurieu coast, so, you know, it's a bit rough. Sometimes I have to go down to Normanville and Victor, and sometimes I have to go visit Kangaroo Island, and then there's a beach there, and I have to have lunch at the beach. It's a bit rough. But I was sitting there at my lunch break, and I've just something new in my life. I don't know why it's new. I don't know why this hasn't been a part of my faith journey the whole time, but I've just started asking God really simple, simple questions. Like, hey, God, what do you want to say to me today? Just really, really simple questions, you know, spontaneously. It's been such a wonderful journey. Hey, God, what do you think about me? It's a strange question, but it shouldn't be a strange question to ask God, because can I tell you, when you ask God, what do you think about me? You're going to be really loved. He's going to tell you some really beautiful things. So I was literally sitting there, I just said, hey God, is there anything you want to say to me? And I just, you know, I just hear the words, I love you. I'm like, oh, that's nice. That's beautiful. So I don't know if that was God speaking or just me, but it's truth. So that's great. I'll take it. He loves me. And then I just sense in my mind, oh, I see you. I thought, oh, yeah. I just took a breath on that one. And then I just heard, and I know you. And just something inside of me just went to mush. I went, oh, you really know me. That means the creator of the universe is trustworthy, and I can put my faith in him. I can put my future in his hands. Because he truly does know me. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. So he, in his goodness, he chose us. And in his beauty, he knows us. And even though he knows my weaknesses just as much as my strengths, he then commissions us. He calls us. It's incredible. Little old me. little us. He calls us. And this verse is so specific in that. He says, why does he call us into him? He did this so that we would broadcast his glorious wonder throughout the world. We're here to be loved by him and then just love others. That's his glory, isn't it? Being able to love people, being able to love this world, having hope for this world. We're here to broadcast that in a million different ways. In a million different ways. We broadcast his love to this world. And how do we do that? We can only do that because we are drenched, this verse says in my translation. It says we are drenched with his mercy. So we don't do that in our own strength, but we do that knowing that, oh, even though I am broken in myself, your mercy allows me to show up in love every day. On my good days and my not so good days, I'm drenched in his mercy. Therefore, I am called to go out and broadcast his wonder. We're part of the family of God. We're part of his family business, if you like. We're part of the family business of Jesus to broadcast his love throughout the world, throughout our community, throughout our suburb, throughout our neighborhood, throughout our street, throughout our nation, wherever it is he calls us to be hands and feet, wherever he calls us to pray. You know, this faith journey, it's not cruise ship Christianity, is it? It's not, oh, we're just jumping on the cruise ship. No, this is like action. This is naval ship. This is like we're going out there kind of Christianity, where we're ready. We're ready to love. We're ready to show up in love for our community around us. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't always make sense. Sometimes our lives don't always make sense. I know that. Like I am full of hope for the future. Can I tell you the statistics that I get to hear about are statistics actually of revival, particularly right now. There's particular revival happening for our young adults. I don't know if you've heard, but there is right now, especially in Europe, but it's starting to trickle over here. The numbers, I don't know where the numbers come from. I don't know who takes the stats, but it's wonderful to hear that the numbers of young adult men in particular that are now coming into faith, that are now asking questions about faith, it's exciting. Again, the world would have us kind of shrink down like, oh, it's going backwards. It's really not. God's a God of the long game. He knows what's happening, and we're a part of something beautiful happening. There are young people coming back to faith. There are young people looking at the generation above going, do you know what? They do have something that I've been missing. What is it? What is it? There are, in particular, young adult men in particular, looking at generations above going, there seems to be a hope there. Where did that come from? And they're asking questions. So we can continue to pray for what God's doing and bringing people to him. It's really wonderful. But we don't always understand what's going on. We don't always get it. A few years ago, I was playing I Spy in the car with my little boy Micah, who's now 8, but at the time he would have been about 4.5. And he was about to fall asleep in the back of the car, and it was on the school run. Now, I don't know if you remember, but when a young person, when your child falls asleep at 4:30 on a school run, that means you're going to be awake at 11 o'clock. This is not a good time for my toddler to fall asleep. I needed to keep him awake. This was very important. Mission, keep Micah awake so that we can get him to bed at the right time. So I said, Micah, let's play I Spy. Do you know how to play I Spy, mate? Yes, Mum, I know how to play I Spy. Okay, let's go. Let's play I Spy. Here we go. Who's going to go first? I'll go first. All right, you sure you know how to play? Yes, I know how to play. Okay. So he says, okay, I spy with my little eye something that is blue. Okay, great. Good. All right, so the jumper you're wearing, no, Mum. Okay, the bag, no, Mum. Your jeans, no, Mum. The sky, no, Mum. And we go on and on and on. Okay, Micah, I give up. You win. I give up. What was the answer? He says, Mum, the answer's the sky. I said, buddy, I definitely said the sky. I definitely said the sky. You told me no. He's like, no, Mum, no. No, you didn't. I win, you lose. Okay. I am a little competitive, but I could. It's okay. Oh, fine. He's like, well, you lose, so I get to go again. I'm like, all right, fine. So he goes, okay, I spy with my little eye something that is red. So here we go again. Okay, there's not that much that's red around the place. I'm making things up. The roses on the side of the road. No. I said, okay, you got me again. He's like, ha, 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 you lose again. I'm like, teach him some humility later. And I'm like, what was the answer? And he goes, Mum, the answer's the sky. I'm like, well, clearly we should have gone through the rules of this game. You said you knew the game. I win, you lose. But, I think then I just got bluey up on my phone and handed that to him. I think it's a better way to keep him awake. But he was on a completely different sphere, right? He was on a completely different level. It doesn't matter how long we were going to play this game. Micah's way of thinking was going to be here. My way of thinking was completely down below. We were on completely different spaces in time, right? And it was a funny thing, but I remembered that actually a couple months ago in worship. And the verse came to mind, which is this in Isaiah 55. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And again, just that omniscience of God, that nature of God, where there are things that happen, sometimes we get it and sometimes we just don't get it. Sometimes there's a why, God. What's going on, God? Are you there, God? But the Lord would say to us, I really am. I chose you. I know you. I sent you. I'm with you in the good days, in the hard days, in sickness, in health, in all of those things. And there's a sense of faith that needs to rise up where we say, oh, You're on a different plane to me. You really are on a different level, and so you should, because you're Lord God Almighty. And my job is to put my faith and my trust in you, to look up, to look out, to seek you, to know you, to be loved by you, to stay in that place of faith, that even when things are rough, your ways are higher than my ways. And you truly know the beginning from the end, so I can continue, even in the hard times, to trust in you. I really can, because you know all and you love me completely. I was wrestling and having a bit of a whinge to God a little while back. Not that any of you would ever do that, but in my weakness, I was having a little whinge to him. You know, my favorite verse ever is Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. It's my favorite. I love it. But I was saying, well, why did that happen then? What about this? What about that moment? Why did I go through that? Why is this person going through that? Why is this country going through this, Lord? What's going on? It doesn't make sense, I said to the Lord. I said, Lord, sometimes it doesn't make sense. And I just heard the whisper back. I heard him say to me, daughter. Oh. He said, daughter. He says, what makes sense is you and me. And so in my lack of understanding, the Lord just called me back to him, to being loved by him, to being chosen by him, to being known by him. And I just went from to a place of rest, knowing that first and foremost, what makes sense, what does make sense? For every day I have breath in my lungs, what does make sense? Is him with me, and that needs to be my starting point and my middle point and my end point as I journey through life. So I'd love just to pray for us, and again, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for being people with so much to give. With so much to give. And I pray that as we continue to be sent and be commissioned out, that we would always stay close to the first thing, which is his love, that we are complete in his love and his knowledge of us first and foremost, no matter what. So Father God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that your goodness is so evident in this place, in this house, in these people. I thank you for God's people right here, right now. And I thank you, Lord, that you know the depths of our hearts, you know the depths of our mind, you know the depths of our dreams. You know, you see, you love, and you call us to be loved by you. And then you call us to love others. So I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to move upon the people of this house, of this beautiful place, to be led by you in love each day, and to not deviate from that beautiful truth of your mercy, that we are drenched in your mercy and drenched in your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, God. Terrible when your device goes to sleep. As part of our response to hearing God's word, and we're going to stay seated for the first part of our next song, and then I'll invite you, if you're able to stand, then as the offerings are brought forward. That's part of our response to God's great love for us. We're not only chosen, we're chosen because he loves us. So let's sing this next song. Just
to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from a grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see.
Gifts of money and of food, asking that as we have been blessed, you will bless these gifts that they may bring help, hope, sustenance, and the love of God to all God's people. We stand as a sign that we also offer ourselves, giving our time and energy in service to our Lord. And if our gifts are given out of duty or obligation, or with a sense of pride, forgive us. May we respond with generosity, with humility, and with an awareness that everything we have comes from you. And although we're returning only a portion of that to you, you love us always. Amen. You can be seated. And we are now going to respond to the word with our prayers for others. Thank you, Colin.
We've been reminded today that we are God's people, and I have a little prayer from a short prayer from John Wesley. I make sure you know it's a short prayer because John Wesley's not necessarily always someone who gives short addresses, but his short address on, as it were, on that sort of subject is this one, and it struck me as I read it. This is not the main prayer. This is the prayer to start us off. And Wesley said this, "Lord, let me live, let me not live to be useless." We are God's people. We are not born to be useless. And so Wesley gave that prayer, and was it just by random reading or whatever it was, or was it by some other means? I was drawn to this particular prayer that I'd like to read for you today. It comes from a book by Phyllis Cole and Everett Tilson, and it again helps us to understand something of what it means to be God's people. And following this prayer, there'll be opportunity in a time of silence for us to pray for many people, perhaps who are on our minds just at this moment, that we feel we need to pray for. But firstly, hear this prayer that calls us to be the people of God. Gracious Lord of creation, you have made us one in our dependence on you and on one another. You have so ordered existence that through our fellowship with human beings, we discover our need for communion with you. We praise you, O God, for esteeming us so highly, endowing us so richly, and trusting us so fully. We are humbled by your willingness to take such great risks for our growth into mature human beings. We bless you for having seen in us more than we see in ourselves, and for having done better by us than we do for ourselves. You have called us to be your witnesses, and too often we have failed your summons. Occasionally we have hated evil, held fast to the good, and been affectionately devoted to one another. Yet we have seldom been zealous in showing honour, patience in enduring tribulation, or generous in responding to our brothers and sisters. If we have remembered to rejoice with those who rejoice, we have forgotten to weep with those who weep. If we have denounced the flagrant abuses of those in power over us, we have winked at the vices of those who live around us. For all these transgressions, whether of omission or commission, we ask your forgiveness, O God. But remind us of the high cost of your forgiveness, lest we forget the magnitude of the task to which you have called us. You have called us to preach the good news to the poor, yet the world swarms with the poor who have never heard the good news. You have called us to liberate the oppressed. Yet half the world's people have never known life without oppression. You have called us to set prisoners free. Yet we continue policies that condemn persons to a life of bondage. Renew within us, dear Lord, our commitment to the victims of the world's injustice. Today we have been quick to seek your help against the world's injustice. Grant in the struggle for justice, we shall be quick to offer you our help. And so their prayer is concluded and perhaps becomes our prayer. And now we use that time as we think about those people on our minds. We are grateful for Kelly coming and speaking to us today. Perhaps you might be wanting to pray for her and her work for the school's ministry group. So you could be praying for Kelly and that work. Or alternatively, there may be people very much burning in your minds, people who are ill, people who are under tremendous pressure. Some of our close ones, our family, let's pray for them in this special time. And now we bring the Lord's Prayer as we close this time of prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks, Colin. In preparation for sharing the sacrament of Holy Communion together as God's people, please stay seated for this next song.
Feed us now, bread of life, in this holy meal. Let us know your love anew. We hunger for you. Feed us now, bread of life. How His mercy works in me.
in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do this. He took bread and gave thanks for it and said, as he broke the bread, "This is my body. It is for you. Do this to remember me." And in the same way, after they ate, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new agreement that is sealed with the blood of my death. When you drink this, do this to remember me." And so let us pray. Holy God, we praise you. We bless you for creating the whole world, and that in you, your mercy, you gave us your Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And we give you thanks for his humble birth, for his life and ministry of love, for his sufferings and death on the cross, for his glorious resurrection and ascension, and for the promise that he will come again. We praise you, O God, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the church he brought to birth, and for the power of word and sacrament. And so pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that as we share in the body and blood of Christ, make us one with him and with each other in service to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, all glory and honour is yours, Almighty Father. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. All those who love the Lord a little and would like to love him more are welcome to receive the sacrament. Would the helpers please come forward? Because our theme today has focused on the ways that we are God's people, we're all God's people, people who serve one another, I'd like to emphasise the way that we model that to one another as we receive first the bread and then the fruit of the vine. And it'll work like this. The helpers will hand you the trays, but not to the first person on the row, but to the second person in the row, who will then hold it so that the first person on the row can receive from them. That clear? Then you pass it on to the next person, and then you'll receive from them. They'll pass it on to the next person, and that next person will receive. Until it gets to the end, and the person who, one of these, will collect it and hand it to the last person in the row. And so it'll go on. Now, what it means is that you're not trying to hold a tray or a plate with the stuff at the same time as you're taking a piece of bread or a cup of juice. And it might seem a little strange, but just remember, someone's serving you the bread and then the cup. As the people of God, we serve others, and in turn, they serve us. When you've been given the bread, and then later the cup, would you please hold it and wait until everybody has received? So when everybody has received first the bread and later the cup, then we will eat and then drink together as a sign of our unity in Christ.
Not conceited, up too high. I do not occupy my thoughts with schemes too big, with schemes too high for me. So I will wait in hope for you, Lord. From this time forth and forever, I will trust in you. I will trust in you, oh Lord, both now and always. Now and always.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Let us eat together and be thankful.
I have calmed my soul and feel satisfied. As a child in my mother's arms, I have found serenity and quietude. Oh, my Lord, I trust in you. So I will wait in hope for you, Lord. From this time forth and forever, I will trust in you. I will trust in you, oh Lord, now. I will trust in you. I will trust in you, O Lord, now and always. Now and always. I will trust in you.
The cup of life, as we drink, remember Jesus. Let us pray. God of grace, you renew us at your table with the bread of life. And may this food strengthen us in love and help us to serve you in each other. For we go in peace to love and serve others as your chosen people. We ask this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. There are three things before we sing our concluding song. First, I encourage you to please stay for morning tea. Perhaps have a cuppa with someone that you don't know well and get to know them better. Secondly, if God has spoken to you today, you could share that as you chat together afterwards. And if you'd like some prayer for yourself, then ask the person next to you or come out towards the front and someone will be there to pray with you. Our final song is Have Faith in God, a reminder that God leads and guides all of God's people. And it inspires us to have faith in God, to be confident and hopeful as we go out into the world to serve our Lord. Please stand as you are able.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that because of your birth, thank you that because of your death, and thank you that because of your resurrection, we are drenched in mercy and drenched in grace. And in that knowledge, let us go and broadcast his glorious wonder throughout the world. Amen.
Thank you, Dan.